High FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Are you somebody that works at home, and have you tried to claim some of those benefits? What's been the reaction? I know that a lot of people that I have spoken to have had inquiries from SARS, have had it rejected. What is the situation? Beatrice Goos, Head of Stakeholder Management and Strategic Development at the South African Institute of Tax Professionals. Good morning. Thanks for joining. How are you doing?
I'm very well. How are you doing?
Excellent. Thank you. I'm hearing more and more cases of people receiving letters of inquiry around their claims for the deduction of work from home. What is the situation?
Okay, so let's start with this, that most of the claims that people can put through to SARS in terms of personal expenses,
right,
if you are an employee, are not deductible for tax purposes. So any type of thing, for example, your own telephone expenses and that type of thing, under normal circumstances, you cannot claim.
Sure.
So this is it's an exception to the normal rule. So as an exception, it's very tightly regulated, and it remains tightly regulated. And this is maybe the thing where there's a mismatch between expectation and what's currently happening.
Mm-hmm.
The legislation currently is still only catering for very few people working from home, that it's not the norm. And as you and I know, that unfortunately during COVID, what has had to happen is that a lot of people did start to work from home. And we are also seeing a slight migration of people continuing to work from home, even in circumstances where a lot of people have returned to work in offices, etc. So we have kind of a half and half situation at the moment, where some people are working from home, some people are working in the office. And the legislation is still on the basis of the minority working from home. So as a result, it's extremely strict. So what that means is the way that SARS interprets it and the way that it is being applied is strict. So that means the room or the place that you're working in when you work from home needs to be used exclusively for purposes of trade. So that means if you share a room with somebody else when you work, so for example, there's two people in a room, you cannot claim. If you are working from your bedroom, you cannot claim. If you're working on your dining room table, you cannot claim. And I think that is the trick around this, is that the legislation hasn't yet taken into account that there has been a migration to working from home, so that it's the majority, so that we don't do it as an exception. And what we will see hopefully going forward for the next year or two is changing of the legislation so that it now takes into account, for example, one of the things that we're going to motivate for this year as SAIC is to have not an exclusive use, for example, a room, an office, etc., in your room, in your house, but also if you work in your bedroom, apportion the time. What is the period that this room is being used for working? What is the time that this room is being used for sleeping? And that exclusivity that is currently in play, unfortunately, what that does is it makes the law slightly elitist in the sense that a lot of our people
can't
have a room.
Mm.
And I mean, at some point, I know 2-3 people were working in one place and the children were doing their homework in the same place. So as a result, the law needs to keep track of where we are as a country, and that is what it will do, but the law changes slowly. So where we are now, if you don't have your own place, unfortunately, you can't claim. And the second part is also you've had to work for 50% or more of your time. You've had to work from home in the year of assessment that we're talking about.
So
those are the two areas where I can see where people would have had trouble, as it were.
What about things like increased internet requirements, that type of thing?
So there are different types of things that you can currently claim for. And unfortunately, what that means is that it's not only what you can claim for, but how it's being provided. So in the sense where you've got, for example, an employer providing internet, etc., everything's fine. It is not taxable as long as it's used 50% or more for business purposes. But now the problem also comes in that you've got not only that, but you've also got where an employee, for example, buys their own data. And as we know, in our country, you don't always have the same coverage everywhere. So that means that sometimes employees buy their own data, they buy their own airtime, etc. And if it's reimbursed by an employer, that's absolutely fine. The employer reimburses it, but on occasion, the employer says, listen, I'm going to give you X, and you must make do with it. Now, if it's not a reimbursement, but it's more of an allowance, well, at that point, there's questions around whether or not it will be taxable, and that depends on how that employer structures providing the data. And that's also one of the areas where I think clarity needs to be provided, I think via legislation preferably, because SARS has got a job in terms of interpreting the legislation as it stands. So up until the point where we get the legislation to match what we see and what we do in practice as just the working population, I think we're going to have a bit of a disjunction between what people are almost expecting from a fairness point of view and what's actually happening then from an assessment point of view.
Right, right. And things like, I mean, and it's absurd that we shouldn't be able to deduct things like an inverter or UPS because power goes down and we have to be able to work at home.
Oh, absolutely.
It's actually an absolute absurdity if we can't claim that.
Absolutely, and I think what has to happen is to say that, okay, what is your general state of circumstances in South Africa? What do I need to work from home as a direct cost? So then there would be, for example, wear and tear on the assets that I claim. Say, for example, I need to get certain office equipment, a printer, and so forth, or alternatively, it's being provided to me by my employer, so the use thereof is in my home. That should not generate a fringe benefit for me. So I think there's two parts. There's the part of let's go forward and look at what needs to happen. And that's one of the things we met yesterday as a site work group for personal income tax and employment taxes. And that's one of the areas where we are putting forward Annex C amendments to be included in the budget next year to say, okay, National Treasury, Parliament, could you please look at the following areas where we think we need to change the law to accommodate actual real shift in from office work to home work and make that accessible for people? And then the second part is where we are now, where people have been working from home, but what can they claim? Mm. So there's a number of things that SARS has made available. It's quite strict in terms of if I've been claiming whether or not I've provided the sufficient proof. Because there's a lot of information they want. They want photos. They want a letter from your employer stating that you're going to work from home on a letterhead, et cetera. So on the SARS webpage that they gave you instructions exactly of this is the information you need to provide if you want to claim, this is what you can claim. They even have a questionnaire. They've got a webinar that they've provided. So there's a lot of information to guide people. If you've been working from home, is this in or is this out?
What just doesn't make sense to me is that government says for the good part of the year you have to work from home, and then they say even though you can come back to the office, we really would like you to work at home, but then require a letter from an employer, whereas the government themselves have told you to stay home if possible.
I see what you mean. Yes, I fully get that. I think it's just a matter of crossing and dotting I's in the sense that was this specific person that is being audited by me required to work from home? Yes, he was, or no, she wasn't. And if they were, fine, then the employer letter will state so. So basically what it is cooperation.
But what does it even mean require? I mean, if a company gives some people the option and says, look, the office is open because some people really don't have a choice, you can either come into the office or you could work at home.
Correct.
But the guideline from government says rather work at home. So this person decides to work at home. So the employer actually doesn't require them to.
Absolutely. That's absolutely fine. So what the requirement from SARS states is that you must provide the letter from your employer stating from when to when are you required to work from home, or were you allowed to work from home, and which were the days that you in fact did not report to the office?
So to the premises. Right.
So what they basically do is, you know, in the same way that you have your IRP 5, where your employer tells SARS, this is the remuneration I paid over, this is what I deducted, etc. This is exactly the same type of, it's almost kind of reporting that the employer gives and then says, okay, these days you can take into account for the 50%, the other days you can't. And all that thing does is it just gives SARS the A-okay, yes, this person 50% or more worked from home, or they did not, in fact, even though government asked them to.
Right. Very, very interesting and a very important conversation. Beatrice Hoos, Head of Stakeholder Management and Strategic Development at SAIT, the South African Institute of Tax Professionals.